Tim, there are many times when I ask you a question, I like to get out of the way because I love to hear what you have to say from what you have seen of this budget. What's your interpretation?
Wow.
And for you to say that, that's no small deal.
Well, look, there's plenty of stuff to hate in this budget. And they will be lining up to do just that when Mr. Snyder delivers it at 11 o'clock. Let's try this on for size. He's proposing a $470 cut per pupil in every school district across the state. I can hear the education lobby moaning and groaning over that. They say they're already facing deficit situations. This will compound that. I ran into the university president at a school that lives nearby here. She was fearful that there would be a cut in the teens, and there will be to universities, 15%, but they can get some of that money back if they hold tuition at 7% or below. There will be a 33% cut in revenue sharing, and then there are some smaller items that will add up to about $1.2 billion in cuts. He's asking for $180 million in concessions from state workers, and in the corrections department, it's $250 million in concessions. If you give money to a charity, you can write that off your state income tax. He would do away with that. The as we've reported, the tax would be imposed on private pensions, which will be controversial. Right now, on your state income tax, you get $3,700 per person in your family, a deduction. That would be wiped off the books, and the list goes on and on and on.
Tim, are we smart enough to realize that everyone's going to have to tighten the belt a little bit, or does everybody have the governor's public enemy number one?
Well, I don't think it would be public enemy number one, because I think people realize that he said he was going to do this, and by golly, he did. And the really interesting thing about this is that it's a good insight into this new governor. He clearly is not a career politician, and he's clearly not interested about getting reelected. Because if you are interested about getting reelected, you don't tax senior citizens, you don't attack the schools by taking away almost $500 per pupil, and you don't do the myriad of things that are in this proposal, which will just hack voters off. The question is, you know, he proposes it. Can he? Can the lawmakers go along with it? And some Republicans are going to say, you know what? There's new revenue in this thing. This is not an all-cuts budget at all. He does raise some new revenue. Now, the administration doesn't want to use the word tax increase, but if you lose a benefit that you had and you end up paying more to the state, there's going to be some conservative out there who says, you know what, that is a tax increase. So it'll be fascinating to see if he can pull this thing off, but this is a cultural change if he can get it through.
Tim, how long does it take before we know if the numbers match up, if we know that we're going to get to zero balance?
Well, his numbers do match up. In fact, I saw him the other night. We walked into an event together, and I said, so what's new? And he said, you know, I'm a CPA. I've been working on some numbers. And I asked him, I said, do they match? He said, yeah, they add up. The numbers on paper will add up. There's no question about it. But the real numbers that are important are 56 and 20. And those are the votes that he needs in the legislature to pass this stuff. And as we begin this journey this day, I'm going to submit to the jury that he doesn't have those votes, but don't underestimate Rick Snyder. He's on a mission to do this, and he's got a shot at doing it.
I just got a picture in my head of the sleeves rolled up on the governor, and he's at a desk, and he's just
forget the visor. Yeah, but this is what he does.
Yeah.
Other governors, for example, looked at taxing senior citizens' pensions, but they looked at it through the reelection prism or the political prism and quickly concluded this is a non-starter. It simply won't float. Here you have a guy who told us he was a non-career politician doing stuff that non-career politicians do, which is dicey stuff. Take, for example, Jack Brandenburg, who's the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, an ultra-conservative from Macomb County. He said to propose a tax on senior citizens' pensions is, quote, political suicide. Now, there's a guy that Mr. Snyder needs, because this bill is likely to go to Mr. Brandenburg's committee. But Mr. Snyder doesn't worry about stuff like that. He'll tackle that problem when it gets there. And he believes, and he has said privately, that when the dust settles, this will get better. However, I'm not sure the dust will ever settle. That's the question.
Tim, have you seen anything like this before?
No. No, no. We've had cuts before. The former governor went through about $4 billion in cuts, but it wasn't all in one budget. He said he was not going to do this job piecemeal. And boy, if you want proof that he's delivering on a promise, here it is.
when I started skimming through this budget last night, Tim, I started thinking, especially with the cuts to education, we're not worried about attracting folks here. We're not worried about educating our kids as much as we are worried about surviving.
Well, I think the governor's thinking, and this is one of the questions I want to put to him later on this morning, why the $470 cut to education? Because most people agree that if we're going to get out of this mess culturally in this state, education is the key. Well, that doesn't look like a key, but I'm interested to see what his explanation is. Perhaps this is a pressure tactic on the schools to save some more money on their own, and he'll come back at a later date and say, only kidding, folks. Maybe it's part of a strategy. I don't know, have not had a chance to converse with him on that point. But his point is, if Michigan is going to reinvent itself and there needs to be a cultural change, he has concluded this is what needs to be done. It's one person's judgment. And the question is, will others go along?
If I was going to be the devil's advocate, a.k.a. Tim Skubick, I would say, how can anyone disagree with any of these when we know we have to balance a budget?
Well, there are plenty of ways to balance the budget, and the tune you're going to hear from some Democrats and even some Republicans today is, instead of cutting education for the kids, close some more tax loopholes. You could certainly come up with $400 million in taking other tax breaks away from other folks other than the school kids. So, you know, there's more than one way to chop the head off of a chicken, and there will be some other alternatives now. And the other interesting thing, Tony, he's going to present two budget bills, one for education and the other one for everything else. And that is going to cause a stir because lawmakers will be demanding more details on where all these cuts are going to come from, and they're going to look for them in this budget, and they're not going to find it.
We had a gentleman on today, Ken Moore, the president of the Michigan State Employees Association,
yep,
discussed the possibility of a tax increase. Would the governor or the legislators look at that?
No. Look, the governor is going to get the $180 million in concessions from state workers through health care givebacks. That's actually a relatively smaller number. I think they were braced for something completely worse than that. There have been givebacks before. I think that one they can work out. That may be one of the easier pieces.
There are those out there that say states like Wisconsin are trying to union bust. Do you think that will happen here in Michigan?
I don't believe that you're going to see this governor call for an end to collective bargaining. He realizes that that would be a divisive issue. And here is a governor who, and I take him at his word, is trying diligently to put together a coalition of R's and D's to try to get something done, to try to find that compromise. Throwing that hand grenade into the mess would absolutely destroy any attempt at that. So I don't think you're going to see that from this governor.
How long will it take for legislators to sit down, digest this, and go to work?
Well, he wants this done by the end of May. With all due respect, I just think that's a bit of a stretch. And you know what? An argument could be made for not getting it done quickly. This is not like, you know, doing a business budget where you need to find out how much money you got to build widgets. In a democratic process, perhaps a little deliberation, particularly on something as far-reaching as this, is maybe a better idea to kind of go slow here and not make a lot of quick decisions that might be the wrong decision. So, well, I respect him for trying to move the budget process up May 31st. I talked to the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Roger Kahn, who's a conservative Republican, and he basically said, you know what, this is a deliberative process. We're not going to rush into anything, although that's a nice goal to reach. I don't think it's reachable, though.
Do you think there is anyone in this state who will read the budget page by page?
Well, it's not going to be that much to read. I know you asked Kyle Malin that the other day. A normal budget of 300 or 400 pages, nobody reads that stuff. But if he's giving out two bills, you might be able to knock this thing out over a cup of coffee.
Hey, Tim, Mike from Livonia is on the line, and he wants to ask a question.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going great. I wanted to talk to you about, as the details of the budget are coming out, just sharing you my comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think, number one, I think that as far as taxing private pensions, and I soon will be getting close to being in that category.
Yeah.
I really don't have a problem with it.
Yep.
As long as they tax the public sector pension.
Well, you can't do that, though, Mike.
Yeah, well, but then you know what? We need to make a change so it can be done. Because here's the problem I'm having with you guys. They're talking about a $400-some cut in education, and you're a lot smarter guy than me. I'm just a dumb truck driver.
You know what? I'm just a dumb reporter, Mike, so we have something in common.
But here's the deal, guys. We know that the bureaucracy and the administration charges up a hell of a lot of money that actually gets down to the kids. You have teachers retiring at 55 with lifetime medical, 75, 80% of their pay,
yep.
and they're living a life of grandeur, and they're not producing a very good product out of our public schools.
Well, let me add to that, Mike. There are constant complaints that the education system is overloaded with administrators, you know, too many principals,
I just got done saying that not enough money gets down to the kids
yep.
between teachers and administrators.
Yep.
Okay, I know you're a lot smarter than me, but you know what? I know something? This dumb guy has been able to put his kids through school. I'm going to pay for my kids to go to college and not come out with debt. I'll go up to Lansing and sit across the table and show them how to balance the budget. And I'm a dumb guy who wasn't even a good high school grad. And I balance my budget and save money for my kids' future. I don't want to hear a bunch of excuses from people who are supposedly a lot smarter than me. And they're not able to make some hard decisions. I sit across the table with my wife every night with my kids. We make hard decisions, and we live by them. And these guys in Lansing, they're career politicians. Go down to Texas. You got a part-time legislature, and they're not there a bunch of lawyers who are just making laws for their buddies back in the legal side of it. You know, get back to reality. We have too many politicians and not enough statesmen. And I'm not a big Snyder fan, but maybe he is a statesman and not a politician.
Mike, appreciate your point of view, man. I think Tony's got to get into the news.
All right. Thanks, Tim. We'll talk with you soon.
Thanks, man.